You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
The first thing that happens is the screen goes completely blank. Thank you, Ben.
Yep. Ben is not going to miss us, but we're sure going to miss him.
That's right.
No offense,
Isaac. Tell Ben, tell Isaac what you just did, and we'll get it all taken care of for when this happens next time. So as I went into a mild panic there for a moment, but we would have made it through. Everything would have been okay. We got a great show, and we are jam-packed today. Tom Kankert will join us to talk about the Music City Bowl. We'll also talk about Iowa basketball. And, I don't know, a little recruiting news. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit on the program. And then KJ Pilcher. We'll talk high school wrestling with us and wrestling in general. We'll do that coming up in the back half of the hour. Love to have you interact with us today. As always, 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. Same digits. And that is also 319-366-1600. As we take you through a chilly Tuesday edition of the program, we are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at DuPaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. If you have not gotten your shopping or holiday shopping done yet, you may consider going out early tomorrow or later on this evening, because it sounds like it could get a little bit dicey later on toward the end of the week. Winter storm warning now. I would not be surprised if they do not put blizzard warnings out. The snow, I think everyone's pretty much in agreement, is going to be somewhere between 4 to 8 inches. That's really not going to be the problem. It's going to be the winds and the cold temperatures that are going to be moving in. So keep that in mind. A lot of things already canceled. As Spencer went over on Spencer on Sports, many college basketball events have been moved. Iowa's games against Dartmouth for the women, Eastern Illinois for the men, are now going to be afternoon games tomorrow at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Also, Kirk Ferentz is going to meet the media coming up tomorrow. The Iowa State men's game against Omaha tomorrow night, that's done. That is off. They will not reschedule that game as well. And sadly, the Iowa State Drake women's game is not going to be rescheduled the way it sounds as well. And I hate to see that. I'd like to see them get together and find a date to do that. But you get into conference play, and then that's pretty hard to do, Mark. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. And, it's sign of the calendar, I guess. Iowa City Schools have called off all activities and whatnot for Thursday and Friday, and I would imagine that district will be joined by many in the coming hours.
Thankfully, there's not a lot going on Thursday it's basically school. And tonight is the final big night as far as the high school calendar, so I guess if there is a silver lining, that is it. That is it. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Great to have you with us here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Tom Kankert from Hawkeye Report is going to join us coming up here in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. And his talk is a lot to get to. Recruiting. A depth chart came out today for Iowa football, Mark. And Joe Lamas is QB1. In Iowa City, as of the moment. That's one of the headliners and the highlights today.
Not surprising. We will talk to Tom about that, and I doubt that Tom is very surprised about that as well. Carson May, the number 2 at quarterback. We'll see if there's any variation in the approach of the Iowa offense. That would be interesting, given a short window before the bowl game, but among the other highlights, Deontay Vines has taken over as one of the number 1 receivers. He has a lot of promise. We'll see whether that bears itself out in the bowl game. Sam Laporta listed number 1 at tight end. He missed the regular season final, and that pretends to, make you think that not only number 1, he's not skipping the bowl game, but not skipping it due to injury either. And we mentioned yesterday, Kayvon Merriweather is going to opt out of the bowl game. The Iowa defensive back, terrific defensive back. He will be replaced in the starting lineup by Sebastian Castro. I might have missed a couple along the way, but again, we'll talk to Tom about those changes.
Yeah, we will. So we'll get to some Iowa football talk here in just a couple of moments. We have the famous Idaho Potato Bowl going on. San Jose State jumped out 13-0, lined up for the extra point. Eastern Michigan blocked it, and it's been all Eastern Michigan since, Mark. Which is good news for the panel, because we all took Eastern Michigan, if I recall, correct?
We did, although that will have no bearing on the results.
Yeah, it's 13-9 now in front of friends and family in Boise, Idaho up there. Why don't you go ahead and give us the results of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6?
I can do that. John from Cedar Rapids is the lucky winner of a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. Of course, we have two games pending on this week's picks, but it's immaterial because Dave has clinched. He is 4-0 through the first four. I can catch him if Liberty covers against Toledo tonight, but Dave holds the tiebreaker. So Dave is the weekly winner off to a 4-0 start. I'm 3-1. Spencer, or you are 2-2, and Spencer 1-3. So John from Cedar Rapids is going to enjoy some great food and drink out of the Emils.
Awesome. And little bit of information to get to as far as the text line is concerned. 319-366-1600. That is the text line out there if you'd like to join us here on the program today. 7508 says Correa's presser canceled and Tatis flying to New York.
I think it's due to illness.
He says interesting.
I don't know about the Tatis part, but I think Cray had some sort of illness, and that's why it was postponed.
Happy holidays to our friend Phil as well. 1238 says, I hope we open up the playbook and let things fly. It's bowl season. Let's have some fun. The game means nothing. I don't know if the game means nothing, but I agree with you. Time to take a look at next year, do some things maybe differently, and give everyone a little bit of a sense of security going into spring and summer, if you will.
If the game means nothing, why go or why watch or why listen?
I would agree. 319-366-1600. Tom Kakert will join us coming up in a little bit. Wanted to get to this before we get to a break and talk with Tom. And that is, Mark, we've been waiting for this. And I guess it was a piece of golf news today. And I think there's more golf news to come as far as Augusta National and the Masters. But the Augusta National Golf Club came out with an announcement today that we've all been waiting for, that at least those of us that are golf fans and fans of the Masters. The LIV players that have qualified to play at Augusta are going to be allowed to play at least for this year. 2023 at Augusta. The membership at Augusta National said today, we reserve the right to make changes when April comes around, and we'll see if there are changes. They basically said their hands were tied this year. They didn't want to make any changes at the last second, so they're going to allow the Dustin Johnsons, the Phil Mickelsons, et al. To come and play this year at Augusta National.
Interestingly, Golf Week pulled 12 PGA Tour players, some former champions at the Masters, some not. And to a man, they said they're okay with it. If these guys have qualified, the Cameron Smiths, the Dustin Johnsons, the Patrick Reeds, whoever it may be, if they're qualified, the PGA Tour players that were interviewed said, I'm okay with it. And I guess why shouldn't we? I don't know if this thing's over quite yet.
You want the best field there, right?
I mean, the Masters is an invitational. Augusta National can set its own rules.
And they do.
Much like the other majors. And this is the first step of saying, you know, if you're qualified, I don't care what tour you're on, you can play in the Masters.
Everybody getting their cake and eating it too. Although the official golf rankings, that is still
up in the air right now. That's the one spot where the LIV golfers are losing ground at this point. And they're trying to get that change, but to no avail so far.
The Masters has always been an outlier. I mean, for years, former champions can play for life. You had Doug Ford and Bob Golby and others, Tommy Aaron.
They'd have to tackle me to get me off the golf course.
Playing until they're into their 60s and whatnot and largely missing the cut. And, you know, that's the rules that the Masters have set. So this is the latest step in allowing LIV golfers who have qualified up to a certain point. I don't know when the cutoff is. But, yeah.
1477 says, I hope we see some Carson May, too, in the bowl game. We'll see. We'll see. 316, we're going to take a quick break, come back. Tom Cakert's going to join us, and we'll talk about the Music City Bowl and more when we return after this here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. It's going to be sunny and cold today, and we are going to have temperatures in the teens, and it will be breezy as well. Later tonight, we'll have some clouds passing on through. Temperatures drop down into the single digits. Tomorrow, clouds will be building back in, and we are going to have temperatures in the low 20s. We will have snow moving in the evening, and as snow picks up into Thursday and the winds increase as well, travel will become more difficult into Friday, too. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Back in 1947, when young Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, the sparse utility of the war years was ready to give way to the cheer of color in fashion, furniture, and of course, jewelry. Women from Hollywood starlet to housewife glowed with colored gemstones on ear, neck, and hand. Often these beauties were received in a Hertin and Stocker box on Christmas morning. Ruby red and emerald green, blue sapphire, purple amethyst, citrine, aquamarine. Colored gemstones are again bringing cheer and joy. In fact, any one of these rare beauties would make an unforgettable holiday gift this year. So come see what's sparkling in those famous frosty windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish happy holidays to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Back on the Gym Class at 3:18 here on KGYM as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on this Tuesday edition of the show, coming your way from the Circus Sports Iowa studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott and Mark with you, Ben and Isaac on the other side of the glass. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to interact with us, that is the text line each and every day. That is our phone line as well. Speaking of the phone line, we bring in Tom Cakert from Hawkeye Report. Does a great job covering Iowa Hawkeye football, basketball, women's basketball, what have you. Recruiting, maybe some recruiting news coming up tomorrow.
He's got a busy day tomorrow.
He does. Starting off at 8:45 when, for once and for all, we're going to find out exactly the direction of one Caden Proctor from Southeast Polk. And Tom, how you doing?
Doing all right. Yeah, it's going to be a busy day and trying to get everything done and back home before the snow flies, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And helping you out with the movement of the Iowa men's and women's games, too. So I think that was a good move by the University of Iowa, as well as the other two schools involved right down there. Well, how do you think it's going to go tomorrow? Caden Proctor, it's pretty much a known quantity that he may renege, end up in Tuscaloosa. We'll see. Oh, by the way, Iowa flipped a guy today. Those of you that always look the other way when that happens.
Not really. The guy decommitted from Purdue.
And ended up in Iowa City. How do you think this is going to play out tomorrow?
Yeah, I think everything is pointing towards Caden Proctor is going to end up at Alabama. And I think he has a right to make that decision. That's his choice. I think the only thing that anybody will quibble with is that if this was kind of where it was going to land anyway, maybe you don't commit to Iowa when you did, or you at least let them know much further in advance, so they can plan, so they can adjust their recruiting efforts elsewhere, or perhaps portal efforts more aggressively right out of the gate. Now they're kind of in scramble mode, trying to get involved with some kids in the portal. The prep kids are pretty much all picked over at this point, so that's the only quibble I would have with it. But it's he's got to do what he's got to do, and he seems to have made a decision.
You got to follow the money in this situation, Tom, don't you? I mean, one visit last weekend, and boom, apparently he's going to change his mind.
Yeah, I you know, in the NIL era, of course, you have to kind of follow the money a little bit. When, you know, I just always look back at it, go, the answer to all your questions is money, right? You know, it's just that's whenever you're thinking about these decisions with high-end prospects these days, this is kind of where you end up landing, is that it's going to be a financial decision. And, you know, he has an opportunity to, I don't know if I'd call it life-changing, but maybe it is life-changing for him, life-changing kind of money at Alabama. And he's got that chance to do that. So, you know, that's what he's going to do.
We kind of know, you know, who is coming for the most part going into recruiting day. What I kind of like to follow, not only, you know, Iowa State around the Midwest, other Big Ten schools, but I like to see the preferred walk-on list. And I you tweeted this out a little bit earlier on. I think Iowa's got a really good one with this Lippmer kid out of Central Line. This kid is a beast. I don't know where he's going to play. But I think we may see him on the field in 3 or 4 years somewhere.
Yeah, they do just such a really good job of kind of getting those kids that are going to end up developing, you know, into scholarship players. I think about like Clint Schulte has done at Iowa so far with, you know, playing safety and just kind of being the guy in the back end of the defense that, kind of runs the show back there, and how he's developed into a scholarship player. And you just continue to see those type of kids over the years at Iowa. Jake Gervais, who's, you know, came in as a walk-on kid from Davenport Assumption and is now completing another year in the NFL. You just never know where that journey's going to take you, but It's cool to see those walk-on stories. You know, I know people don't get too excited about them, but I always pay attention to them.
Tom, depth charts and preseason polls go hand in hand. Iowa does have a depth chart out issued today for the poll game. What'd you make of it at certain positions?
Obviously, the quarterback thing was not a big surprise to see Labus there. Just, you know, who's left? You know, it's him or Carson May. So, you know, people who wanted to see a different quarterback are going to see a different quarterback. Not much going on with the defense. I was a little surprised that maybe they didn't slide Xavier Wampa over to strong safety and give him a start. I thought that might be something that Phil Parker did would do in this game, given that Sebastian Castro is playing a lot of cash. But maybe that is telling us that they're going to play a lot of three linebacker with Jay Higgins out there, along with Jack Campbell and Seth Benson, and then Castro is just going to play strong safety. And I wonder if that's maybe where we're headed here. And then on the offensive line, I thought it was interesting that Jennings Dunker is listed as a starter at right guard, so he must be having a good bowl prep this year.
Do you think we're going to see both quarterbacks in the game against Kentucky, or is it strictly going to be Labus?
I think it's going to be Joe Labus at this point. We'll ask Kirk that tomorrow for sure. If there's going to be, you know, maybe something for Carson May, you want to see what he can do. But I think unless he gets hurt, I think Labus is going to be out there. And so it's a I've dubbed the Music City Bowl the backup bowl because, you know, it just seems like everybody Kentucky has opted out or in the portal or whatever. And, you know, the Iowa offense has got a lot of guys who are portaling or injured. So one other thing I should mention is Sam Laporta is back on the depth chart, which is a big deal for Iowa, their leading receiver and, you know, number one tight end. Getting him back, especially with, you know, Keegan Johnson and Arlen Bruce departing the program.
Who's the most surprising player that entered the portal to you?
Good question. I think the Padilla one did not surprise me. I think he saw the handwriting on the wall with Cade McNamara. I'll say maybe Terry Roberts, just because he had another year to go, and he probably could have had a chance to start at corner next year if he was healthy. And I think Iowa felt like he was done. He had kind of told him he was done. He was going to move on from football, and then all of a sudden he's in the portal and getting some really legitimate offers. So I'll probably land on Terry Roberts at this point.
Justin Jacobs and Arlen Bruce really surprised me as well. Maybe you're closer to the program than I am. Maybe that was expected.
Arlen didn't surprise me, just because you kind of heard all season that he and Keegan Johnson were. Yeah, Justin's a good one. And I kind of forget about him just because he's been out most of the year with the bicep injury. So, he was interesting. I think the interesting thing with him is, even since before he came to Iowa, all the rumblings were about him being linked to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And then for him to end up at Oregon, I think was a little bit surprising. But I'm guessing there were financial reasons for that decision. Mm-hmm.
Tom, a philosophical question, if you will, about the state of bowls right now. Do you go with all the people in the portal for Iowa and especially for Kentucky? Do you kind of look at this as maybe the first game or practice or what have you, looking ahead to 2023 and just try some things now? We had a couple of questions on the text line about that, maybe seeing some different things, trying them out in the bowl game just to run them out a little bit, and also just to run out some different personnel to see maybe if they're ready to take on a bigger role next season. Do you see that happening more in bowl games now?
Yeah, 100%. In fact, Chuck Long and I were talking about that on his podcast this morning, and just how bowl game is, you know, it's an exhibition game in some ways, but it's almost like that first time we'll ever get to see, like, almost like a spring game, but it's against a different team, where you're just kind of that next wave of players is going to get their opportunity. It's now the seniors, Jack Campbell, Seth Benson, guys like that, Noah Shannon. I think those guys obviously want to win this game and go out on top, but I think for some of the other guys, it's, a chance to perhaps elevate yourself moving forward. And for Joe Labus, maybe it's a chance to elevate yourself into, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, what if he goes out there and plays really well? Is some school going to start back channel talks to him and say, hey, you should come here? And, they're bringing in Cade McNamara. You're not going to start. So maybe you come here. Hey, that's just how this is going to work.
Yes, I think so. In the year, in the state of football in 2022, yeah, I think that would happen.
Yeah, there's going to be some guy in a bowl game who gets an opportunity, and then all of a sudden, before that January deadline, he's going to be in that portal and get a nice. It's wild. You look at one of the number one kids in the portal, players in the portal right now, is a kid who's at Rhode Island, and he's an offensive lineman, 6'5", over 300 pounds, just blown up completely. So he's deciding between Ohio State, Oregon, Nebraska, got NIL money coming out of his ears. I mean, it's just This is the era that we're going to be living in from here on out.
66-55 on the text line asking about Dallas Kraddeth, the defensive back. I thought he was leaving, Tom, but he's on the depth chart.
He is. He's another one of those guys that went through the senior day ceremonies, and he's going to be moving on. But I was surprised, too. I noted that when I wrote up that he was on the depth chart, even though he's in the portal. And I think there's exceptions to everything. And I think this is one of those situations where I think Dallas Kraddeth probably wanted to stay, and he's a senior. And that might be part of the deal, too, is that maybe if you're a senior and you wanted to stay and you're healthy, you could potentially participate, where some of the other guys who are underclassmen that are in the portal, I think maybe they're just saying adios and good luck.
Somebody's going to have to print out and send me an edition of the portal rules. Tom Caker joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class for a few more minutes here on KGYM. Starting our attention to basketball, Iowa will take on Eastern Illinois coming up tomorrow. And that game now, if folks have not heard, is not going to be a night game. It has been moved up. It's a part of a doubleheader. The women are going to play at noon, the men at 2:30, women against Dartmouth, men against Eastern Illinois. So obviously Fran McCaffrey wants to get this game in. I don't think we're going to see Chris Murray for sure. But boy, we are seeing the development and the continued progression of Philip Rabracha right in front of our eyes. And he is turning into a pretty good force inside for this Iowa basketball team.
He really is. He's making, you look for guys that are going to elevate their play and make the most of their opportunity. And Philip Rabracha has done that and then some. And the other night, career high 30. He has been a kind of a double-double machine since Chris Murray's been out. And Iowa has needed it because they don't have many options as far as bigs. And he just continues to play. I think he's going to have another big game tomorrow afternoon at Carver-Hawkeye. The Eastern Illinois is – I looked him up in the KenPom rankings, and there's 363 schools listed in the KenPom rankings, and Eastern Illinois is 356.
I hope you started at the bottom.
Yes, so I had to scroll down quite a ways to find them. And they're struggling. I asked Fran about them today, and he kind of sang their praises. And, well, they won their last game. It's just, okay, they played well at times. I think Phillip's going to have a big game. I think we'll see some Carter Kingsbury and Luke Laqueta and company coming off the bench in the final 8 to 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and not only Rabracha playing very well right now, and I think, tell me if I'm wrong, it's kind of another philosophical thing, but without, your leader in Chris Murray, this team is really kind of the sum of all the parts, I guess, is a good way to describe it right now. Would you say that as well? You've got some outside shooters. Connor McCaffrey's getting that done. Good to see Sanford have the game he did, although only 1 3-pointer in the last game against SEMO on Saturday night. But still, it's guys doing, literally doing their job and getting things done.
Yeah, they're the sum of the parts are better. The whole is better than the sum of like the individual parts. But they are really, and I think Connor McCaffrey has really kind of willed this team in some ways to where they are too. He's just doing everything that he can to kind of guide the team and lead the team and get them through the stretch without Chris. And one thing Fran did, kind of optimistic. Somewhat optimistic about, I felt a little bit better about what he said regarding Chris Murray, that maybe that Nebraska game could get back by then. I know initially they were less optimistic about before the first of the year, but if they get him back for Nebraska, that would be pretty significant. Nebraska's playing pretty well, and then, January 1, they go to Penn State as well, and Penn State went to Illinois and won recently. So a couple of I know people look at Nebraska and Penn State and basketball and think, they're not very good. But Nebraska waded into a Creighton team that was top 25 before the season started, and Penn State's playing really well, too.
Nobody's going to be an easy out this year in the Big Ten.
Minnesota might.
Yeah. Boy, that thing has really fallen off. I mean, nobody's going to Williams Arena either.
I saw a picture. There was nobody there the other night, and I thought maybe Ben Johnson would get some things going, but it has not gone well up there.
It is not. Hey, Tom, thanks for the time. Thanks for the information. Happy holidays to you and the family, and be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all your listeners, and thanks for having me on. Always enjoy it.
All right, thanks, Tom. Tom Caker joining us from Hawkeye Report. Go ahead and read his stuff there. Always very, very good information. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. KJ Pilcher is going to join us. We will talk some wrestling with you. Going to have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you as well coming up before 4 o'clock. So stay tuned. More to come after this on the Gym Class on KGYM.
I need to get serious about my health and work on lowering my cholesterol.
I want to focus on my mental health and overall health, too. But who can watch my kids?
Join the MAC now and pay no dues until 2023.
Access daycare,
a women's-only workout area,
recovery massage room,
24/7 facilities, and more.
Plus, over $1 million in updates.
With a basketball court,
saunas,
lap pool,
and a hot tub.
Join now at jointhemac.com and pay no dues until 2023. Act now. Offer ends soon. The MAC, a place for every body.
Established and led with Midwestern values, that's Tempty, a company that puts people ahead of everything else. Tempty of Cedar Rapids will be opening soon and is looking for excellent people to join their team. They have openings now for trailer technicians, administrative assistant, inside sales, and more. Tempty offers competitive pay, medical, dental, and vision benefits, paid time off, holiday pay, and quarterly bonus potential. Visit Tempty.com/careers to learn more. Tempty of Cedar Rapids, Iowa's premier trailer destination.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Our thanks to Tom Caker for joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the program. Tomorrow, we'll talk to Mark Ironside and then your fantasy football advice from Chris Liss. All that coming up tomorrow here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. As we get set to bring in our next guest here today, KJ Pilcher from the Gazette does a tremendous job. One of the best, if not, he is the best in the country in covering wrestling. And kind enough to join us on Tuesdays. His appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt located on Johnson Avenue Southwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. Did I say Southwest? I meant Northwest. Johnson Avenue Northwest. I'm getting my directions confused, and the snow isn't even flying yet. Happy holidays, KJ.
Happy holidays to you and Mark.
You betcha, man. And
thanks, man.
I think we're not going to see a lot of wrestling later on in the week this week. Just a hunch.
Well, right now everything's still a go. It was a limited schedule anyway. I think the only two local duels were boy-girl doubleheaders at Iowa City High, and at Marion. Kennedy was going to Marion, and Liberty and City High were wrestling. City High and Liberty have moved theirs to tomorrow, trying to get that in tomorrow evening before the biggest snowfall hits. And right now, Kennedy and Marion are still on, but as you know, a lot's going to change here in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Tell us what you saw last weekend. I think a tournament in which Bend Community won. Xavier had a nice tournament, right?
Yeah, that was up at North Lynn, the Lynx Invitational. That's a pretty nice small school tournament. Of course, there's a little bit of a change this year. Cedar Rapids Xavier usually hosts the Doug Phillip duels, and because of some teams dropping out, they're kind of suspending that for a year. So teams like Marion and Xavier and some went to North Lynn and filled out that tournament. And like you mentioned, Benton Community came away with the team title. They moved 10 guys into the semifinals. You know, I think they had 11 guys placed in the top six. There overall, they had four in the finals and had one champion in Brendan Hay. They had 152. But Xavier finished 8 points behind, a runner-up finish. One of the better finishes that I remember Xavier having in an individual tournament. I think you remember a couple years ago where they actually had a really good dual team that participated in the regional duels, which was a first for the program. And now you see them. They actually finished pretty well the week before at Mount Vernon, and they followed that up with a good showing at North Lynn, coming away with two champions. 113-pounder Keel LeMaster got a pin in the finals over Kyson Moss of North Fayette Valley in the third period for the first one, and then Ryan Holfer of Xavier pinned Jake Schmidt of Beckman in the finals at 120. And, you know, I always like seeing stuff like this happen because, of course, one of the first things that Ryan Chambers mentioned is that, you know, those guys are practice partners. And you see that a lot in wrestling where, you know, I think back in the days when Joey Slayton and Mike Russell for Cedar Rapids Kennedy, both state champions, and they were practice partners. You get that type of a relationship and teammates pushing each other and really getting the best and most out of each other in practice. And, you know, it pays off in competition. And you see that from a lot of teams, a lot of places where you'll have guys do well in back-to-back weights, and that's why kind of pushing each other. But, you know, Xavier had runner-up finishes from Ronan Thomas at 152, Adam Cook at 138, and Keaton Tresnick at 195. But one of the wrestlers that really kind of stood out to me was Cale Bridgewater for North Lynn. He really kind of rolled through the tournament. I believe he outscored his opponents 58-11 in three matches, three technical falls. You know, that's pretty amazing, putting up that number of points, no matter who you're going against. The interesting thing with Bridgewater is that this was his second title there, but he hadn't wrestled in the tournament since he was a freshman. One year it was canceled, and then he had illness the other year. So won titles in his home tournament as a freshman and senior. And the other interesting thing, you know, he's a three-time state qualifier, placed as a freshman and sophomore, and he's out to a 16-1 start this year after not placing last year. And, you know, like you see with you hear it from a lot of people that maybe fell short of their goals, that, you know, they put a little too much pressure on themselves. And I think that's something that might have come into play last year for Bridgewater, and now this year he's kind of focused on, hey, this is my last go-around. I want to have as much fun as possible. The way to do that is to score a lot of points, and that's what's really driving me. And it's really starting to kind of come through. Of course, he's, depending on what polls you look at, he's ranked number one by some in Class 1A. And after this weekend, it really looks like he's on a mission heading into the break.
Yeah, and the Bridgewater name that's legendary.
North Lynn, they've got a really competitive family. And, you know, whether it's softball or wrestling or football or basketball, you know, between him and his sisters, there's stories of, like, hours-long ping pong matches in their basement between him and his siblings, Hannah and Kenzie, and even their dad, Brad, and mom, Jody. Into the mix, you know. Yeah, really competitive family and a standout group of athletes.
Good folks right there. Battle of Waterloo up at Young Arena. A lot of good stories coming out of there. What were some of the headliners in your eyes, anyway?
Well, just the way the championship pool turned out, you know, and that's exactly how, you know, if you're running a tournament, that's exactly the competition that you want to have. You had four outstanding dual teams, you know, in Waverly Shell Rock, Osage, Ankeny, and Don Bosco. You know, those teams are at the top of their class in 1A, 2A, 3A. You know, and obviously the competition kind of showed that, where they Don Bosco ended up finishing fourth out of that group, going 0-3. But they, you know, all three of their matches were fairly competitive. Osage beating 40-20, but the rest of them were fairly close. But Osage, Waverly, Shellrock, and Ankeny all beat each other. That tells you a little bit about the competition and kind of what you expect up there with the field that they have, the 32-team field. And Osage, talked about it last week, how impressive they were in beating West Delaware up at South Wynn. And then they come down here, different format, going from a traditional tournament now to a dual tournament, and coming away with a team title. They did drop a 37-36 decision to Ankeny, but then bounced back and won 35-31 over Waverly Shellrock. It caused like a three-way tie and won on criteria. I'm not exactly sure what the criteria is. I think it's most points scored, but the Green Devils were pretty impressive. To come away with, you know, especially the wins over Waverly Shellrock and Don Bosco. Ankeny was a little bit of a surprise. They knocked off Linmar in the bracket competition the day before. But, you know, they followed that up with a really good showing in the championship pool. So they're for real. They're gonna be right in the mix, especially for in dual competition, because they proved that they're right there. As far as area teams go, you know, Linmar finished sixth overall, kind of had a group of Linmar, West Delaware, and Prairie finishing sixth through eighth, and that was the top area finishers. On the girls' side, really – really neat story with Cedar Falls coming away with a team title there, edging Waverly Shellrock, and of course Osage was there on the girls' side as well in the championship pool with Bettendorf. But Cedar Falls really coming through, and I know they have some old alum. I think Cassie Herkelman might be part of the coaching staff up there for the Tigers. And again, as far as area teams, East Buchanan, which has a really strong girls team, finished fifth. Linmar was sixth.
A note from the text line, perhaps you're aware, the Iowa County Holiday Duels were moved from Thursday to tonight in Williamsburg.
I was not aware of that, and I will note it.
Take note. What's going on in the girls' side of things, KJ? Because it seems like a season of first teams with their first go around. I know Jefferson got its first win the other night. Others following right. suit as well. How about some of the better girls' teams around?
Well, you know, I think if you really want to kind of expand, you know, that Northeast Iowa area has been kind of at the forefront of the girls movement. You know, you look at teams, you know, like Waverly Shellrock. Waukon has actually a really good team. Oldline has big numbers. Denver has been there. And then you kind of float a little more kind of in that north central, northeast Iowa area where you've got teams like Osage, and Charles City that are really good. Independence has a strong team as well. Here in Cedar Rapids, you know, I've been really impressed seeing what Prairie has done. You know, they hosted their first tournament on Saturday, and they had five champions. You know, they've got a lot of kind of younger girls or girls that are inexperienced, but Mackenzie Childers, kind of leading the way there. She's the most experienced person. You know, she has her sister Madison that's on the team as well. I know Jade Heenick. A lot of people recognize the Heenick name, obviously, in Prairie Wrestling. Jade Heenick won the title at their tournament on Saturday. And Prairie's really impressed me early on. Same with Linmar. Linmar, Mike Gears has done a good job out there. They've got some experienced wrestlers with like Lauren Polis, Allie Jelinek from previous years. And they've got Katie Seary, her dad, Kelly Seary, I believe wrestled at Wartburg, was a longtime boys assistant, now helping Mike Gears out with the girls program as well. But they've looked really good. Iowa Valley's got, they've got about two or three peaches in their lineup. So, they just finished, third at Iowa City Liberty behind Southeast Polk and Pleasant Valley. And how many platforms will Iowa Valley compete with the schools of that size like Southeast Polk and Pleasant Valley? So Jeremy Kriegel has got a good group there at Iowa Valley. And the rest have some good individuals. You know, you look at Iowa City West, and you have Janelle Avila, who's nationally ranked and won at Prairie on Saturday. Then you look at, Cedar Rapids Kennedy with Ella Brown, who's a preseason nationals runner-up. Marion's got a couple good wrestlers. I believe Natalie Hedlund is a freshman who they expect a lot of big things at. Vinton Shellsburg has Bree Swenson and Chloe Sanders, and they actually are very strong on the girls' side. And, you know, you just have a lot of things like that as teams are kind of really trying to kind of mold things together, if that makes sense, where, you know, you've got I still remember Jason Haig at Marion telling me when they walked into the Independence gym that first weekend when they could compete, he had a manager say, "Hey, do you think I could actually wrestle?" He was like, "Well, yeah, if you want to," So you're still going to have that with this first season where you have people wanting, okay, I see other people doing it, I want to do it too. So they're really trying to feel things out. And you mentioned Jefferson. Yeah, they got their first win, I believe it was against Dubuque Senior at home. They had a champ at Prairie, I believe Mimi Kadu came away with a title there at Prairie. So, you see just kind of bits and pieces at each school and in each program. Carly Klein at Cedar Rapids, Washington, to mention another metro school. She recently won a title, and that was at Prairie as well. So, you have these bits and pieces as they're trying to kind of fill up a lineup and really get things established. And that's where the Northeast Iowa schools that have kind of been at the forefront of this movement, when the IWCOA state tournament started for girls, they have a little bit more sound and balanced teams, and that's where kind of the teams in the corridor and other places in the state are catching up.
Well, we're going to run, KJ, and want to wish you and the family happy holidays, and we'll talk after the first of the year with you again. Great win by you and I over Ohio State yesterday, by the way, down in New Orleans.
Oh, fantastic. That was fantastic. I tell you what, that was an eye-opener, and I think you and I surprised a lot of people just because they haven't wrestled a duel yet. That was their first two duels of the season. They've wrestled in open tournaments up until then. So, they've got a strong, balanced lineup. You got some upsets, like from Colin Rilabuto, who beat Sammy Sasso, national finalist. Kale Happel from Lisbon is wrestling outstanding at 141. Their heavyweight, Terrell Gordon, has really jumped levels as well. And the Panthers looked really good yesterday, as well as Iowa State, who faces Penn State tonight.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Happy holidays, KJ. We'll talk in 2023, man.
Sounds good. And if you don't hear from me, maybe come dig me out.
All right, we will. Thanks, man. All right, KJ Pilcher joining us to talk some wrestling with you, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Quick break. We'll hear from Kurt, and then we'll come back, have a quick Eagles Hideaway scoreboard for you when we come back.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit MFAM.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Siegel's holiday savings start now. Our entire selection of designer, vintage, estate jewelry, bridal rings, watches, gold, and sterling are at 40 to 70% off retail savings. Tennis bracelets and diamond studs, both laboratory grown and mined, 50% off. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Located one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center on First Avenue.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Save big when you upgrade to new appliances from Menards. We offer the lowest prices with the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. Whirlpool appliances are meant to make your life easier. Upgrade your home with top appliance brands including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade your home with new energy-efficient appliances and save big money at Menards. Plus, a Menards gift card always makes for a great gift idea.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Back with you on the Gym Class, KGYM. Throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Mark, we start off with breaking news.
On his personal Twitter account, Caden Proctor has issued a picture of him in an Alabama uniform saying, home away from home, roll tide, committed. There you have it. Also in recruiting, Iowa has landed a three-star running back out of Texas. His name is Terrell Washington Jr. He had been a Purdue commit, but decommitted when Jeff Brohm decided to go to Louisville. College football, Brett Bielema has received a six-year extension through 2028. And finally, segueing into high school sports tonight, Scott, the first boys basketball poll is out. Xavier is your number one team in 3A. Kennedy, the number two team in 4A. North Lynn, number two in 1A, and we should mention that our own Scott Unash sits on the 3A panel to make these selections.
With a couple of former coaches and three members from the Iowa High School Athletic Association. And, yeah, we'll see Xavier tonight. Xavier at Washington, CRM Live Sports will have that tonight at 7:15 for you. And we'll get a chance to take a look at the number one team in Class 3A. Yes, Caden Proctor again, and more with Todd and Alex on this coming up, I would imagine, as he has made it official on his Twitter account. He is going to go to the University of Alabama. Signing day coming up tomorrow. We'll talk about that. Mark Ironside will join us. Chris List to answer your fantasy football questions. Have a great night, Mark. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
Spend the Gym Class on KGYM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Improve visibility in your vehicle and save $10 on a pair of Trico Force wiper blades.